You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Amir Huda, the CEO at Q. Q, formerly Gusto, is going beyond traditional point-of-sale technology with a singular focus on fast, casual, and quick-service restaurant chains. Leveraging an API-first approach and a core suite of omnichannel ordering solutions, Q delivers an enterprise-scale, cloud-based POS solution that's fast, flexible, and forward-thinking, making it easy to implement, easy to use, and easy to afford. Improved guest experience, best-in-class integrations, centralized enterprise management, and payment processor choice are some of the reasons leading restaurant chains choose Q to help them move faster, stay nimble, and increase profits. Mr. Huda, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
And of course, we're certainly thankful for your time as well. So to kick things off today, give us a brief background on the restaurant POS space to kind of lay the groundwork here.
Sure. So as you're familiar, the restaurant POS industry has existed for many, many decades, going all the way back to the original cash registers. And it has evolved, obviously, over the years, but not in ways that we think are appropriate for the needs of modern restaurant chains, particularly fast casual and quick service restaurant chains today. So when you look at the landscape, traditionally, the POS landscape has been dominated by a couple of legacy vendors, and we call them legacy because they've been around for multiple decades. The companies that I'm talking about are primarily Micros, which is now owned by Oracle, and NCR, which really started the whole cash register business, as their name suggests. And so those are the two large entrenched players, have been in this space for multiple decades. And more recently, and when I say recent, it's still pretty old, about maybe 15 or so years ago, a company by the name PAR acquired another company called Brink. And Brink had been around for a while and had some code base that's relatively old. But in its current incarnation, it's about 10 years old. And PAR is a company that builds POS terminals. They acquired Brink, which was a software player, is still a software player. And they've been selling in large enterprise chains with a relative amount of success. And then there are newer companies that have come about in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 year time horizon. And that's companies like Revel, Toast, and obviously Q, that have built a modern cloud-based POS architecture that gets around a number of the challenges that you have in the legacy client-server in-store installed POS hardware and software space. So that's sort of how we see the landscape. Now, keep in mind that the companies that I'm talking about, for the most part, focus on the enterprise space, some better than others. But when you look at the overall POS landscape for restaurants and for other verticals, there are a large number of players that have presence in unique segments of the market or unique verticals. There are hundreds of POS companies. As you know, it's been a large market space and has been for a long time, and so you would expect that there'd be a large number of players, each focused on different segments of the market. So that's kind of how we see the POS landscape today.
I certainly appreciate your thorough coverage. That is very helpful. Now, as a serial entrepreneur, what drew you to this space, the POS space?
It's interesting. You know, when I sold my previous company, Brickstream, it was in the retail technology space. So that at the end of 2016, and we built sensors and software for capturing and analyzing customer behavior and activity for large retailers. We were very successful Our sensors were deployed in 100 plus countries. We had 50,000 sensors deployed worldwide. And so we'd really built that at a very large scale with a lot of success. And so I was introduced to Q by a very close friend and former partner with whom I'd started my first business. And he had since gone to become a venture capitalist, and he knew the investors at Q. And so that's how I got introduced to Q. What got me attracted, well, to be honest with you, when I first heard of the company and the space they're in, I wasn't terribly excited. As you know, the POS market is often regarded as a commodity market, and that's because there are so many players in the space. And my initial instinct was, God, you know, does the world need yet another POS company? But as I started to really dive into the business and the market segments, a few things emerged that really got me excited. The first thing was the investor base and the lead investor in Q. So our lead and largest investor is a company called Coda Capital out of San Francisco. And having been a technology entrepreneur for 20 plus years, all of my companies have had venture investors in some way, shape, or form. And so having worked with a large number of VCs, I found the approach that Coda Capital takes to market quite different and refreshing, in that it's almost like a family office fund, certainly started out that way and was that way for a long period of time. And what that has allowed them to do, the founder, a gentleman by the name Bobby Yazdani, was a entrepreneur, technology executive at Oracle for many years, and then left to start his company called Saba, which was and is in the HR and people management space, very successful, took that public, and then created his family office fund after that. And because he himself was an entrepreneur, he understood what it takes to build successful technology companies. And so one of the unique differentiations is that they take a very long-term view on markets and really look for diamonds in the rough and understand that it might take a few years to get those companies off the ground. But eventually, if you pick the right innovation and the right team, you can really find some phenomenal companies. So, for example, they were early investors in Salesforce and Uber and Dropbox and several companies that today we know as sort of household names in the technology business. So to have someone like Coda Capital that takes such a different and unique view and the opportunity to build what hopefully will become a household name, certainly in the restaurant technology space, was very exciting. The second factor was tied to our founders and our architecture and technology. Q was founded by engineers that actually came out of Micros and had spent 10 plus years building some of the most scalable and the most widely deployed systems that Micros ever built. For example, the platform that Starbucks runs on. And when the founder left, his reason for leaving primarily was when you have a company that's been around for 20, 30 years, there's a lot of legacy customers and legacy products, and it's not easy to just say, I'm going to start with a clean sheet of paper and completely redo what we're doing today. And that was his goal, and he decided it would be easier to accomplish that as a new company starting fresh. And so his approach was, and some of the decisions he and the team made earlier on was, and continues to be pivotal to where we are today, which is, we're not going to be all things to all people. So what does that mean? Number one is we don't do the adjacent spaces for POS technology. So we don't go after retail or convenience stores or gas stations or casinos or hotels or what have you. And that focus on the restaurant space and within the restaurant space in the fast casual quick service space helps us be the best at what we're trying to do versus, again, trying to be all things to all people. And the second approach that they took, which is really crucial to our success, is they decided that they're first going to create a layer of APIs, what we internally call an API-first philosophy. That's kind of in our DNA from day one. And the reason for that was to make sure that customers have a choice to pick the best-of-breed technologies that sit adjacent or on top of the POS. And because we started out with that as our starting philosophy, it has allowed us to create technology that is not only best of breed when it comes to enterprise POS for the restaurant space, but allowed us to integrate with best of breed technologies for things like loyalty and HR and labor and accounting and inventory. And so it allows us to give our customers choice in picking whatever they believe is appropriate for their business that are surrounding technologies to the core POS. And I felt after, spending some time looking at the architecture, and, you know, I have a software background. I've been in the software industry my entire career. I felt that we had a very strong foundation on which I could build. And the third factor that got me excited was the market opportunity. If you look at the enterprise restaurant POS segment today, it is still largely dominated by Micros and NCR, but they have old aging products and technologies and architectures, and I felt like the market was now ready to move beyond that. And so I felt there's a huge market opportunity in the next 3 to 5 years to win over from some of those legacy customers. So those were the three primary factors that really got me excited to come to Qt.
Yes, and with great reason and some good background there, and certainly appreciate your sharing those details. Much appreciated. Now, tell us about Qt and what sets you apart from your competitors.
So, when I look at the competitive landscape today, there are several things that make us uniquely different. And some of which I mentioned are focus, number one, right? By not trying to be all things to all people, it allows us to build the best software for the areas that we are focused on. I also mentioned our architecture that gives customers choice. And it's not just choice when it comes to adjacent and complementary products that need to and must be integrated into the POS. But it's also choice in a very important area, which is payments processing. It's a very complex field and industry. But as you know, if you're a restaurant, if your payment processing is not working 100% of the time, you're not in business. And we like to give our customers choice in picking whatever payment processor they feel comfortable working with, versus us coming and saying, we are going to be your payment processor. So if you look at the landscape, it's gotten quite muddy in the last 2-3 years. A number of payment processors have gone out and bought POS companies. First Data, for example, had bought Clover. Heartland Systems, gosh, I've forgotten the number of companies they've bought. Every year or 18 months, they seem to buy another POS company. Lightspeed and Shift4 combined. Shift4 was in payments processing. Lightspeed was in the POS business. And then you look at POS companies, and Toast, for all practical purposes, has become a payment processor themselves. And so they require that if you want to deploy Toast, you have to use their payment processing. Square does the same. They have their payment processing and their POS. And so when you're going with those companies, you don't have the choice to switch out your payment processor, certainly not easily, because you're locked in both aspects. And so we give our customers that choice and focus just on the POS business. So that's another unique differentiator. I mentioned to you, there are a few new companies in this space that are cloud-based. We believe that our cloud architecture is significantly better than some of our competitors. So let me give you a couple examples there. Some of our competitors, even though they're cloud-based, they still have a legacy approach to cloud in that one of the terminals in the store talks to the cloud and acts as a master, and all other terminals have to work off of that master. So if your master goes down, you're back to your old client-server days. Your entire POS system in the restaurant is down. There are others that use the cloud more than it should be used for. For example, they'll use the cloud to send orders from the POS into the kitchen, which is 10 feet away. Doesn't make sense to do that. What if your cloud is down? Guess what? Your restaurant is down. We believe that the cloud should be used in areas that are effective and smart for cloud usage. So our approach is that every terminal should be a master, and we sync between every terminal every second. So if one goes down, all the data from that terminal that went down is still available and synced to the cloud from the other terminals. So it gives you sort of a last man standing approach, where as long as you have one POS terminal up and running, you're still in business. Even the way we secure and do all of our payment processing. So we've got redundancies at, you know, for the internet, for the cloud, and for the POS terminals, so that you can continue to keep operating, because it is a mission critical system. It's not a nice to have. If it's down, you're down for the day, and it has significant impact, because margins are razor thin in the restaurant business. You can't afford to be down even for an hour, much less a day. So that's another key differentiator. Another big factor that our customers love about our product that sets us apart is our software architecture. So we use Windows terminals, Windows-based terminals for our POS, but our user interface has drawn from all of the latest advances in consumer technology, from smartphones and tablets. So everything from swipes and pinch to zoom and all of the things that are sort of second nature to us today, those are all incorporated in our user interface. You'll see companies that say they are modern because they run on Android or they run on iOS, but their software interface still runs like the old POS systems, where you're clicking 10 times to get to something versus modern gestures. And so that significantly eases the training and the ease of use of our software. It speeds up order processing. It speeds going through the line and serving customers faster. You know, if you're in the quick service space and you can't get your lines to move fast, you can't really be a quick service restaurant. So that's a big benefit that we bring to our customers. Our hardware platform is Windows-based, so our customers have a choice of hundreds of different types of Windows terminals that they can choose from. And to be honest, while some companies have tried to use iOS or Android, those systems are not as rugged. They were not built for a rugged restaurant-type environment. And so having a tried and tested platform like Windows hardware certainly helps our product sort of differentiate and stand out from our competitors. So those are some of the key unique differentiators that we bring to the marketplace.
Today we are visiting with Mr. Amir Huda, the CEO at QN Enterprise Scale POS, or point of sale company focused on the fast, casual, and quick service restaurant industry, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Amir, how do you see the POS space changing over the next few years, and what do restaurants need to keep up with?
So we see a lot of changes happening in the next 2-3-5 year time frame. I think you'll start to see more and more large enterprises adopt a cloud-based platform versus the legacy client server. That process, that change is already underway. Some, you know, are early adopters like in any other market. Others are kind of a wait and see, but we're starting to see that tipping point happen as we speak, where most large chains are now committed to going to a cloud-based platform. And fortunately for us, some of the legacy players like Microsoft or NCR, and to a certain extent even Par/Grink, they don't have as good a solution offering on the cloud side as they had originally in the client server world. So if a customer is on NCR on their legacy client server platform and looking to move to the cloud, they don't see NCR as having the best of breed technology in that space. I think the same holds true for Oracle as well. And so we think that you will gradually see a shrinkage in market share in the legacy players and a larger market share owned by some of the newer companies like ourselves. The second thing that we see happening in the marketplace is that as more consolidation happens between POS and payment processors, the larger enterprise chains, we hear this all the time, are going to push back and say, you know what, we don't want to have all our eggs in the same basket. We want to keep our options open, and we're going to pick a POS platform because it's the best POS platform, and we're going to pick a payment processor because it's the best payment processor and not have to compromise on one or the other. That's another shift I think that will continue to happen. And then when you look at the market segments, you'll start to see a clear delineation between the true enterprise vendors versus all of the others. So for example, Revel started out, Toast as well, they both started out in the low end of the segment, what we call the independents, small chains that have less than 10 units. Square plays, in the small segment space as well. And some of them have tried to go upstream to the enterprise space, in some cases before having a mature product for the enterprise, and have not had much success there. So I think you'll start to see the market clearly differentiate between the true enterprise scale vendors and all of the others. And I think in that space, it's going to be companies like ourselves, and certainly Brink is in that category. Xenio, which is owned by a big payment processor, they recently acquired a company called Sycom, which plays exclusively in the extremely large QSR market segment. So you'll start to see two or three players sort of really dominate the landscape when it comes to the enterprise segment. And I think those are some of the changes that you'll start to see over the next 2-3 years.
And once again, most helpful information. Lastly, what does the future hold for Q?
So I think when it comes to Q, we believe that the most important advantage that we have is primarily related to the approach that we have taken for the market segment, for the marketplace, the ability to really hone in on where we are focused on and continue to really start to win larger percentage market share in that segment for fast casual and quick service. To be honest, it is a very exciting time at Q. There are a couple of big announcements that we're going to be making over the next 30, 60 days. And so the team that we have built is full of executives that have tremendous amount of expertise in the space. And we've got a great product, a great architecture, and we're really looking forward to really succeeding in the market.
And from what I hear, you're doing a fantastic job in the POS space, and keep up the great work. And thanks for joining us here today on the program. If listeners wanted to get further details online on Q, where could they find your information?
It's www.qbeyond.com.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Huda, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Amir Huda, the CEO at Q, an enterprise-scale POS point-of-sale company. focused on the fast, casual, and quick service restaurant industry. And for further details, simply visit QBeyond.com. This is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at enterprisepodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.